It looks like the recordings have started. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group on the 10th of September 2014. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langdon Orr, Greg Shatton, Ann Aikman Scalise, J. Scott Evans, Avery Doria, Tom Barrett, Chuck Gomes, and joining us a little later will be Alivi Kouami. We have apologies from Stephanie Perrin and Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Marika Koenig, Mary Wong, Steve Chan, Amy Bivens, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Chuck.
Thank you very much, Terry. Much appreciated. And welcome to everybody to the call this week. I apologize for missing the call last week, but I was busy in a IGF workshop in Istanbul. I'm still actually traveling. Now I'm in L.A. For the registry's meetings, but doing this from my hotel room. So let's start off with asking whether or not there are any updates to statements of interest. And while waiting for you to respond on that, let me also ask whether there's anybody that is on the call but not in Adobe Connect. Okay, so apparently everybody's in Adobe Connect. Good. All right, so let's get started. Our first thing is to follow up on the GDD consensus policy draft framework that you went over last week, and I did listen to the MP3 of that meeting this morning, and appreciated the discussion that did happen last week. I had submitted some input prior to that meeting that the GDD team has kindly already tried to address in a revised version of the document that you see in Adobe Connect right now. So what we're going to start off with today is to go through what they've done in response to my comments. But let me make clear that my comments aren't, don't have to be accepted or suggested. So please feel free to disagree with any of the input that I provided and suggest alternatives or maybe something totally new as we go through this. Anne, please.
Yes, thank you, Chuck. This is Anne. I just have a very broad question again in relation to, I guess, the procedural aspects of this. This is entitled Consensus Policy Implementation Framework. And I noticed that, and last week we talked about this a little bit, and Marika said, well, this is, and Karen said, this is just the staff's point of view. I went back and I checked our charter under our objectives and goals, and objective and goal number 4 is to provide a framework for implementation work. So, that is predictable, consistent, efficient, and timely, blah, blah, blah. And that includes appropriate multi-stakeholder feedback. So, I mean, staff has done a huge amount of work here that I think, we can take advantage of. But as I understand it, this is a goal or objective that's been assigned to this working group. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. This is Chuck. That is correct. What they've done is they've given us a framework, and it's a draft framework, that we can start with, or if people prefer, we could throw it out and start all over. I wouldn't recommend that. I personally appreciate what they've done, and I think it gives us a good starting point. But it's up to us to decide what we accept in it, what we change, what we add, and so forth. And I think that's all that staff is trying to do, is to give us a starting point like that. Now, let me turn it over to Marika to comment.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think I slightly disagree with that part of it, because basically, as I understand how the charter is written, and the focus is really indeed the community aspect of implementation. And I think that's what I tried to explain on last week's call as well, at least how we see the staff work, is that the board directs staff, you know, to implement policies. And that's, you know, an operational task that, you know, is within the remit of staff. However, we do understand that, you know, as part of the way ICANN works, there is a multi-stakeholder aspect and there's a need to develop and enhance, you know, that part of the process to allow for those kind of consultations and input as part of that process. As such, you know, what we've done is basically try to write up and you know, standardize the way in which, you know, staff has been dealing and is dealing with implementation work, but clearly noting that, you know, what we believe is you know, the work of this working group is to define what those aspects are that require community consultation and how that consultation should happen, as well as how interaction with the GNSO Council or, you know, oversight or input should happen. I don't think it would be appropriate or within the scope of the working group to actually tell staff how they need to do implementation, because I do believe that's an operational aspect of the work that doesn't fall within the remit of the working group. That doesn't, of course, mean, because as I said as well, I think on last week's call, you know, we clearly understand that this is, you know, we're in this together. This is a cooperation that both parties need to, you know, understand what each other's roles are and how to work together, because I do believe we all have the same goal, and that is to make sure that policy recommendations that are adopted by the GNSO Council and after that adopted by the ICANN board are implemented as intended. So I do want to set that out as the, you know, of course, the starting point. But I do believe that, you know, staff does have a role and responsibility to define as part of that what its role in that process is, which doesn't take away that there are, of course, certain aspects where there needs to be bridging and, you know, integration. And I think I described it on last week's call as the kind of puzzle where, you know, this part piece of the puzzle is the staff work in relation to implementation, and the specific charter talks as well about, you know, the framework for implementation related discussions, which is that aspect of the community dynamic in that process.
This is Chuck. Thanks, Marika. Before I go to Anne and Aubrey, could you clarify your point of disagreement? I think I get it, but I want to make sure before Anne and Aubrey speak.
Not necessarily disagreeing, but I think what I'm trying to say, that I think what we've provided here is really, you know, how staff organizes its work. And I think that is firmly within our remit to define. It doesn't take away that, you know, we don't take comments or input from the community on it, but I don't think it's for the community to necessarily define how staff should be handling that work. Of course, if there's serious issues, as always, you know, the community can take that up either with the board, who, of course, has directed staff to implement, or the CEO, who's also overseeing that. But at least from my personal perspective, I don't think that's necessarily a community role to define. Because basically, as well, as you know, the charter questions specifically talk about a framework for implementation-related discussions associated with GNSO policy recommendations. And again, from my perspective, that relates to the aspect of the discussions that is the community aspect of that implementation puzzle, where, you know, staff does play an important part, but again, in a collaborative way. And I think that's what we're trying to define and at least map out to make sure as well that as we go forward, it's really clear for everyone involved what the different roles and responsibilities are and what the different processes in place are, so that we have, you know, a lot of transparency around how things are expected to work.
Thank you, Marika. Before I say any more, let me turn it over to Anne.
Yes, thank you, Chuck. What I think I hear Marika saying is that it's not for the community to tell staff how to adopt an implementation framework. And in that respect, I must actually very much disagree, because I think it's the whole reason that this working group came about. One of the biggest issues that engendered this working group and all the work that we're trying to do was over the disagreements about how staff implemented the straw man solution at the direction of the board. this working group was chartered to do this work in a bottom-up process and had a specific goal or objective, goal number four, to develop implementation framework. And I actually would have to disagree that it is not for the community to help develop that framework and policy and then to have the board consider it and at that point direct staff to develop an implementation work framework after the community has, through the GNSO, advised the board as to what that implementation framework should be. And I thought it was one of the reasons that we were accelerating our work, having weekly meetings, trying to get this work done so that the organization could operate more effectively. I see this at the very heart of, you know, community accountability issues. I see this as essentially an attempt to decide a policy, you know, without the community input if, in fact, this is put in place before the working group finishes its work. And I definitely have this sense from the call last week that somebody is saying, here's our framework for implementation. We're adopting it. We're moving forward, but we know we have to let you know about this because you're the working group. And I don't think that's respectful of the processes that are supposed to be in place within the community. Thank you.
Chuck, are you still there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute, and I was asking Aubrey if she was on mute. Sorry, Aubrey, it was my fault. I was on mute. So, Aubrey, it's your turn, please.
Okay, thanks. I find myself largely in agreement with what Ann has been saying, and I think that we need to differentiate between doing implementation and defining how implementation is done. I think defining how implementation is done is indeed part of this group's work. It is the border condition between doing implementation and receiving policy. And in determining how implementation is done is indeed part where you say, and check with the policy implementation team here. And if there's a flag raised by policy implementation, fall back and do such and such. That framework is what defines that issue space where we know that in the interpretation of policy called doing implementation, policy often spills into the interpretations into how it's done. And so, therefore, it is indeed exactly this border. And I think that's what I understood Anne to be saying, that this is indeed the critical space that we need to resolve, is indeed how, when staff, which is operationally responsible for doing implementation, when indeed within the framework of how implementation is done, policy can intercede, the community can intercede. So this is what we're supposed to be doing, not something that needs to be defined and imposed on us. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. Appreciate that. What I'd like, before going to Marika, is there anybody of the working group participants that disagrees with what Ann or Aubrey just said?
Chuck, can I maybe just you know, before, because otherwise it becomes a Aubrey-Ann against staff kind of thing, because I at least thought I was exactly saying what Aubrey was saying. I think the whole idea behind this framework is indeed we've mapped out what we already currently do as staff, and maybe not we haven't been doing it in such a methodological way, but we wanted to put on paper what, you know, our view is of what staff has been doing and currently does or wants to do as well going forward, and really make that as clear and transparent as possible. And I think what we've been stating clearly and what we've also been trying to highlight in the paper, also through some of the modifications, is indeed where we're really looking to this working group is to define where those, you know, community conversations need to happen. You know, where does the IRT need to come in? And if the IRT comes in, how does it come in? You know, what kind of mechanisms are in place? You know, what happens indeed if the IRT raises a red flag? What kind of process does that trigger? You know, what impact does that have on, you know, the flow of the implementation process? So, you know, at least from my perspective, I'm completely agreeing with, you know, what Avery is saying. And we're definitely not saying, you know, this is it, you can't change anything, you know, there's nothing we want to add. I think, as said, I think what we're really trying to do is clarify that, that part of the puzzle of what, you know, staff is doing and has been doing. And as said, you know, we really wanted to as well put on paper in a more methodological way, you know, what we see as the different stages of implementation. But it's really up to the working group, indeed, to define and, you know, provide guidance on where in those parts, you know, the community needs to be involved, wants to be involved, could be involved, and how that involvement happens. And I think if that is indeed what we're talking about, I think we're fully in agreement with that.
Thank you. Maria, who's that?
Could I ask you a question? This is Tom Barrett.
Sure.
Could I ask you a question?
Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
I'm not on Adobe. I guess my question is for Marika, because I wonder, you know, clearly there's a lot of discussions taking place both within the ICANN staff as well as within the community about the role of ICANN and, you know, the whole issue around accountability and transparency. And I know there's a lot of public discussions that are taking place. I wonder if Marika could let us know what's happening internally within, you know, the ICANN organization, the staff itself, in terms of what kind of discussions and meetings are taking place among staff in terms of how they want to, you know, what position or concepts they're looking to advocate as part of these discussions. You know, we're just one of many groups, I think, trying to talk about this. And I'm wondering if ICANN's already formulated perhaps where they stand on some of these things.
Thank you, Tom. This is Chuck. Marika, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm not really sure if I understand Tom's question completely. I'll answer, and he can then tell me if that answered or not. But I think, as I explained as well on the last call, you know, the work on this framework actually predated, you know, this working group. As I think, you know, we from a staff perspective also realized, and also with, you know, growing teams both on the side of the policy staff as well as the GDD team, that we needed to start mapping out, you know, our processes for, you know, on the one aspect, you know, the handover, how does something move once it's adopted from the policy team to the GDD team, but also on the implementation side, how to get more clarity around, you know, what are the different steps that would a process would need to go through. And again, also keeping in mind that, you know, part one, you know, the visibility to the community, as there was, you know, a lot of confusion around how certain things were done, for example, in relation to the new GTLD team, as there was not a transparent framework in place. But also, again, with new staff coming on board, being able to, you know, give hand something to staff members being tasked with implementation so they clearly understand as well what they're expected to do and what the different roles and responsibilities are. So that's where, you know, this document comes from. It's not specifically that, you know, this working group started and we quickly got together to try and do something so you wouldn't do it. This was actually work that was already in progress as part of, you know, what we saw as, you know, an important part of, you know, clarifying internally as well our roles and responsibilities, but also being able to communicate that externally to make sure that, you know, people as well understand what are the different steps in an implementation process. And I don't know if that answered your question, Tom, but if not, please ask it again.
Yeah, no, actually, Marika, I think that does help clarify, you know, and I think that the way I would summarize it is this. You know, the ICANN organization and the staff basically can't wait for the community to arrive at a consensus on, for example, what this working group is doing. They are, you know, they have to do something now, basically is what you're saying. And so you've already, I think, internal to the organization established some guidelines on how to handle things today, you know, while the community at large is somewhat debating that. Is that fair?
No, I don't think so, because I don't think we're here trying to, you know, define or determine something new. What we're really doing is you know, writing up the processes that we were already trying to follow and again, have a more, you know, standardized approach. As you'll see as well in this document, you know, we don't make any determinations on what the role or where the role of the community should fit. And as I said before, I think that is really, you know, what this working group is about, and that's why we're having this conversation, to see how that aligns together.
I'll just have one final comment. I mean, the slight disagreement I would have with you is that we're not here to document what you've already doing. I would reverse that and say what you're doing now is temporary until we decide what you should be doing.
This is Chuck, Marika. Is that accurate? Do you agree with what Tom just said?
This is Rick. Partly yes, partly no. If indeed this working group determines, and that's, you know, as well followed, that there are certain processes that, you know, the staff needs to interact with the community, and I think that's, you know, what we're already doing and foreseeing, and the processes around that. Yes, that is definitely what needs to be defined by this group and decided by this group. But no, I don't believe that it's for this group to determine how staff should do its work. Purely on the implementation part of things, because that's indeed, that's, we're directed by the board, and the board is overseeing on us on that aspect. So I think there's I think Avery put it in her comments well, that, you know, differentiating between implementation and how implementation is done. So I think there is a remit or responsibility that staff has that is independent from what we're looking at here, which is really that interface or the link between the community aspect and the staff work on this. So, mixed answer.
Jay Scott, it's your turn.
Hey, this is Jay Scott Evans for the record. I think that we're all sort of talking about the same thing in different ways. And so what I hear from Marika is we have trying to codify what we've been doing all along for transparency purposes so everyone can see. And I hear her also saying that, and we've shared it with you because we'd like your input about where you believe things can be different, especially those touch points where you believe the community should be involved where it's not, or where we've identified that the community should be involved, that you believe it should be in a certain fashion or a different way than we've articulated here. And I think if that is the case, then to Tom's question, that would be the changes that would be what you're going to do once we've put our input in and it's been accepted. Is that we've given our guidance and input, and that's been codified and baked into this process. And I think that sort of falls within some of, not all, quite all of what I heard were Anne's concerns, but some of her concerns. So I'm not so sure that even though thematically or philosophically it seems that there may be some sort of sense, I'm not saying there truly is, but a sense of there's this two competing interests or two competing views, I think the essence of the reality is that we need to look at this document, we need to see if there's anything that's hugely objectionable, if so we need to call that out and red flag that, and then we need to look at those potential touch points where staff has already indicated there is community involvement to make sure that that's been reflected correctly and we're happy with that. And then to find any additional touch points where we believe that the community should be involved and that we want to seek those revisions to this. That's sort of my takeaway from what I think our role here should be with this. That's my comment.
Thank you, Jay Scott. So all of the discussion we've been having, this is Chuck again, all of the discussion we've been having is exactly why I asked the question that I did at the beginning. What was it, Marika, that you disagreed on that I said in my description of this? Now, I confess that I heard it the pretty much the same way that Anne and Aubrey did. So I guess I'm still curious what it is you disagree with in terms of what I said or what others have said. Now, you've clarified that in a couple cases of more recent comments. But let me stop there and turn it over to Anne.
Chuck, this is Anne, and I guess, you know, I don't want to set up some kind of big fight between staff and the working group, but I don't actually think that this document is just a documentation of everything that staff has been doing. I think that if it were, we would have seen it at the beginning of this working group. I know that the staff had done a lot of work with respect to implementation, and we were provided with all those documents, you know, at the beginning of our working group. And I noticed that there are a lot of phrases in this document that say that we will do this, we will do that. They're forward-looking. They're things that, you know, will be done. And I guess what I'm really thinking the bottom line is that in light of the charter of this working group, that this whole draft framework is not something that just exists and staff follows it and nobody else, you know, will be involved. I feel like that this is something that really should be before GNSO Council, that it is not just something that here's what the board directs staff to do, or here's, you know, I just have this sense that somebody is saying, you know, here's what we're going to do as of right now, and it seems to me that in the bottom-up process, this has to come before the council because it's an it's a policy implementation framework, which is, you know, in our charter.
Thank you, Anne. And of course, one of the principles that we at least tentatively adopted so far is that the bottom-up multi-stakeholder process doesn't stop when you move from policy development to implementation, and Marika has, I think, confirmed that in some of her comments. But as you could probably tell by the introductory comments I made, that apparently Marika disagreed with somewhat, I had the view in my mind, and that's not deterministic in any way. That's just my opinion. That a document like this with our input would become a deliverable as part of the framework that we're tasked with doing and would be a guideline then that would guide implementation going forward, largely based on what staff's been doing with edits that we might recommend. And thanks for those who are showing your agreement with that, not just because you agree with me, but because it's helpful feedback for all of us as we're going on here. So let me stop there and turn it back to Marika.
Thanks, Chuck. So this is Marika again. So I just want to emphasize again that this is in no way intended to be, you know, the end all of it. I think as I already said before, and we also said on last week's call, we really see this as you know, one part of the puzzle. The missing element is really indeed, you know, the community interaction. And that is, again, you know, I want to emphasize that the charter question is a framework for implementation-related discussions. So specifically focus on those discussions that need to happen as part of implementation. And I think that's where as well, you know, I completely agree with the, you know, the multi-stakeholder doesn't end at the policy development stage, that needs to, you know, come through to the implementation. And again, I think that's what we're really as well trying to highlight, and where we're looking to this working group, you know, to fill that part of, you know, what we're doing here. So again, I think, you know, I think to a certain extent we're saying the same thing. And, you know, what I'm just trying to say is this indeed wasn't available at the start of the working group, because this was work in progress. And we've as well spent quite some time internally, you know, thinking through some of these things and really trying to, you know, put them onto paper, you know, both from the perspective of clarifying things, you know, internally, but also externally, because, you know, some of the feedback we've received as well as part of this working group, but also, you know, further back, it's always like, well, as soon as implementation happens, it's a black box. You know, it goes in, and at one point it pops out. We don't know what happens in between. So I think that's what we've, you know, tried to do as part of this framework. And I think, as we said as well, you know, it's not the intention either that this is a one-size-fits-all. In certain cases, you know, maybe certain elements of, you know, the table you see on the third page may not be needed or relevant. It all depends as well on the policy recommendations themselves. But again, you know, the critical part of, you know, what needs to be defined and is missing, and you know, that's definitely not the role of staff, or we don't see that as our remit, is indeed how that interaction needs to happen and what indeed that framework for implementation-related discussions should be. And I think that's, you know, really the heart as well of the charter question. So again, but I think, you know, we are here, and still it doesn't take away either that, you know, whatever we put here, that we welcome input. And I think it's something we raised on last week's call as well, that, you know, maybe this is something that will be included as part of the initial report, and we're happy to take comments on that and input and work, you know, collaboratively on making this a framework that, you know, everyone feels comfortable with, because, you know, as I said before, we're in this process together, and I think, you know, we all have an interest to make it work as best as we can. And I see that Karen has her hand up, so I'm sure she has something more to add.
Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, Chuck. Hi, everybody. This is Karen, and I apologize. I joined late, so I've heard about the last 10 minutes or so, but I thought I might provide a little bit of background that might help as to how we saw, you know, this fitting into the process that this working group is following. You know, we haven't had a framework like this documented all in one place, and so part of the effort here is we really think we need to. We want to, you know, it to be visible what are the steps and what are the principles that we're following when we receive a consensus policy to implement. So so we've been trying to put that together and, you know, providing it to this group as an input of, you know, this is where we are now. And certainly have already, you know, appreciated the input that we've gotten on it. I think, you know, we're also certainly aware that the working group is you know, has a deliverable of creating perhaps a parallel or complementary framework from the, you know, from the GNSO side. These are our expectations. These are the steps that we think should need to be followed. And so I think, you know, kind of our expectation was if this group does its work and comes out with, you know, recommendations that have gone through that process and are adopted, you know, then we would be looking at, okay, is there anything in our framework that is, you know, one, inconsistent with that, and are there any, you know, elements that we would need to take into account and make sure we've incorporated those into what we have as our framework. And then, you know, thirdly, if there is, for example, a specific process that, you know, when this you know, developed in the working group, you know, these are the steps that should be followed, you know, in this instance, then that is something that, you know, we would expect to take a look at for how we could account for, you know, melding those into the staff work that's done. So I hope that helps.
Thanks, Karen. I thought that was kind of what I was trying to say in my introductory remarks, but I must not have said it accurately. But rather than spending more time debating that, although I think what we've been talking about is really critical, to what we're doing, I'm comfortable, I think, with what you said there, Karen, in terms of what your view was, and it, I think it syncs with my view, but I'd like to hear from others, so let's go to Ann.
Yes, Chuck, thank you. It's Ann. My question is, what does staff intend to do with this once they have our input, and in what time frame, and will it go before council?
This is Chuck again. Before I let staff answer if they'd like to, whatever recommendations this working group makes will go to the council. So I think if we recommend that this framework be a guideline of how implementation should happen, understanding that, you know, there needs to be some flexibility in everything we do. For example, we won't always have IRTs. But whatever we recommend, and it could include a variation of this kind of framework, in my opinion, will go before council. And then council decides whether to approve it, basically by not so much as they're doing our work for us, but rather they're making sure that the processes of the working group were bottom up and multi-stakeholder, and we took all the views into account and so forth. And if that happened, I would assume they would approve it. So I hope that does that answer your question, Anne, in terms of the council role?
No, it does not. My question is not whether the recommendations that we ultimately deliver to council will go before council. My question is, after receiving our input to this document, which, you know, we first saw last week and are now asked to comment on, what is staff doing with respect to their own adoption of this draft framework? And it sounds as though staff itself does not see any need to put this adopted framework before council, and I would disagree in light of the work that this group is chartered to do.
Thank you, Anne. Marika, please.
This is Marika. You know, again, I think from our perspective, what we've put up here is kind of, you know, internal kitchen, what, you know, we do from our side, which doesn't take away, and it's something that I think we've recognized throughout, that there's an important community element that needs to be, you know, added to this picture, which is just only one part of it. You know, having said that, I don't think we have any issues with, you know, sharing with the GNSO Council and you know, obtaining their input. We'll review that and you know, have a dialogue if that is required. But at the same time, we don't believe that this is a document that needs to be adopted by anyone. I mean, at this stage, I think, you know, the part that we're looking at, those are the ones that will need to be adopted, and probably will need to go, you know, up as high as the board, maybe even to, you know, direct as well the implementation of that. But as I said, you know, this part is really just documenting, you know, a framework for how the staff work on implementation is expected to run through the various stages. And again, you know, noting that, and I think that's what we've as well tried to identify in this revised draft, and hope we still will get to those updates that we've made, clearly recognizing that a number of, you know, these phases and steps have a community aspect to them, which, you know, hopefully will be defined by this group. So I think at least that's my understanding of, you know, what this document is. This is, you know, not a new policy or anything that, you know, is you know, a kind of responsibility of the community to adopt, or the council or the board even. This is, you know, from our perspective, really mapping out what we believe our roles and responsibilities are compared to, you know, what the role of the policy staff is in this regard, the GDD staff, the compliance staff, but again, noting that an important component is, of course, still left to be defined.
Thank you, Marika. Aubrey, your turn.
Sorry, thanks. This is Aubrey. I keep getting myself confused, so hopefully you'll bear with me. If I'm understanding now, this document is descriptive in that this is what you are doing, and it's descriptive, and as things go on, as this group talks, you occasionally do change what you do and change the description based on what you've learned. This working group, on the other hand, is doing a normative task that builds perhaps on what's defined descriptively, but may indeed offer changes that go through the council and then go on to the board. But in the meantime, what you've put before us is purely a description of current practice. Is that correct?
This is Marika. Yes, that's correct.
Thanks. That helps me a bunch.
Thanks. And let me ask another question of Marika or any other staff member that wants to respond. So with that understanding, am I correct in concluding that there's nothing to prevent this working group from making some recommendations with regard to this framework as an output of what we do, assuming that we had consensus on that?
Definitely not. Nothing is preventing you. And actually, you know, as we've said, we would welcome any input you may have, either in the form of the dialogue we're having now. And if we get to it, you'll see as well that we've already tried to incorporate, you know, various of a number of the comments you made or the questions you raised in the revised document. So either, you know, through direct input or dialogue as part of the working group, or, you know, if the group prefers that, through specific recommendations in its initial or final report. And, you know, we would welcome any kind of input. As said, you know, this is really, from our perspective, a collaborative effort. Even though we may see that, you know, a certain part we do view as our responsibility, that doesn't mean that, you know, we won't, you know, look at what input is provided and how we can accommodate or address the concerns that may be raised. So, you know, any input is most welcome.
Thank you, Marika. Anne, your turn.
Well, I think that this document is really good in terms of, you know, sparking us to move ahead with our work. I look at, for example, in E on, and we're talking really more about broader issues here. So I want to look at E on, you know, rather than going necessarily piece by piece, but on page. Two, I guess it is. And E.
Which section, Anne?
Okay, this would be the roles and responsibilities section, which is section three. And so that would be 3E.
Okay, thank you.
And for example, it says SOs, ACs may serve as a resource to ICANN staff during implementation as specific projects require. And it occurs to me that that may not actually reflect the working principles that this group has already adopted, just by way of example, in terms of this interaction between, you know, the roles and responsibilities and what does staff do and what does the community do. I think we may have some working principles that suggest that the role of SOs and ACs is larger than expressed here in 3E. Thank you.
Thank you. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, and this is Marika, and maybe this is indeed language, and it's very helpful to have that feedback because maybe it's not, you know, clear enough or specific enough what we mean. But I think, and Karen and Amy, I'm sure, will jump in if I get this wrong, but I think what we mean here, for example, if any recommendations specifically relate to, you know, security and stability aspects, you know, there may be a need or there may be expertise in the ASAC that may help with that specific recommendation. And I think that's what's basically trying to say, that depending on the recommendations, there may be specific expertise that ICANN and staff would need or would be helpful, then for that purpose, we may need to reach out to those specific SOs and ACs that have that expertise. You know, RSEC may be another one, for example. And I think that's a little bit behind it. But again, if that is not clear from here, I think it's something we should be clarifying to make sure that indeed it's not misunderstood or misrepresented.
Thank you, Aubrey. Karen, you're up.
Thanks. Yeah, just to build on what Marika said, under roles and responsibilities, the GNSO Council is called out specifically as having a key role in this, and E is meant just sort of generically in relation to all SOs and ACs. So as Marika said, in some cases there may be a specific issue where, for example, the SAC plays a bigger role or the ALAC or something else, but just wanted to offer that clarification. Thanks.
Thanks, Karen. What I'd like, unless anybody else has comments on this discussion, I'd like us to move to the edits that have been made in response to the comments I made. And while we're doing that, going through sequentially, if somebody wants to add any in addition or disagree with any of the suggestions I made, please feel free to do that. So let's start off with I didn't have any comments on the goals and objectives, but I'll just open it up. If anybody has any, just raise your hand or speak up if you're not in Adobe. If not, I do, before we start actually going to Section B on working principles, I want to refer to a comment Mary has in the chat, that implementation be regarded as an integral and continuing part of the process rather than an administrative follow-on, and should be seen as a process that allows for dialogue and collaboration between those implementing the policy and those that developed it and or are affected by the implementation to provide guidance. So I'm firmly behind that. I think that's what I'm hearing a lot of people saying, but correct me if I'm wrong on that. Aubrey, go ahead.
Sorry if I'm still – I'm a little confused again. Are we at the goals and objectives? Because if we are, one comment I would make on that one is that it doesn't include the word accountability. And I think it's great to say predictability, transparency, and efficiency, but – one would hope it would also say accountability. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. It's Chuck again. Does anybody object to that change? I certainly don't. Please let us know if you do. So that's an edit. Cheryl agrees. I see that in there. Nobody. I'm not seeing any disagreement on that. Good catch. So we will put that there. And from a practical perspective, does staff think that it's an appropriate thing for us to suggest edits, and then would it be necessary to show our suggested changes as a red line, or because this is the first edition of this, as long as there is agreement between staff and the other working group members, we can just make those changes? I'm curious, and just in terms of a logistical process there, what you think makes sense. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think we're happy to hold the pen and note down the suggested edits, and I'm sure Karen or Amy or myself will speak up if we would disagree with any of the suggestions made, but I think Karen already noted in the comments that that's definitely a good addition to that part.
Thanks, Marika. Chuck again. And by the way, speaking for me personally, if anybody disagrees, please speak up. I want you to disagree if you disagree. We need to talk it through, and I think your input is extremely valuable because you are the ones that are tasked with implementation. So it's really critical that we come out in on the same page on whatever comes out of this from the working group. And hold on, let me scroll down and see what that. Oh, okay. I just saw a smile. Okay, I didn't know if that was something else. Thanks, Cheryl. All right. Anything else on the goals and objectives? And I think probably because not everybody had a chance to provide written comments, I will go through sequentially here. Working Principle A, I won't read it. You can read it. You probably already have read it. I didn't make any comments on that, but does anybody else have a comment on Working Principle A? Hearing no one, and tell me if I'm going too fast. B is one where I did make some comments, and note that the staff team has made some edits there. So let me read that through. You can see the edits in Adobe, red line, or maybe I should say blue line there. ICANN staff strive to follow the letter and intent underlying GNSO consensus policy recommendations when designing implementations and transforming consensus policy recommendations into consensus policies. Staff will be held accountable by the GNSO Council for its agent, such as an implementation review team, for ensuring that the implementation of policies is consistent with policy recommendations and the reasoning underlying the policy recommendations. So we've got two hands up. But let's start with Ann.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. It's Ann. I had a question about the reference to implementation recommendation team. We're talking here about that being a central component of the implementation life cycle from beginning to end. The term I've heard in the past was implementation review team. Again, maybe I just don't have enough experience in the community as to far as the definition of implementation recommendation team. And is this saying that there will always be one? Which actually I think might be a great idea, but I don't know that. But I just wondered about that definition and how it works.
Thanks, Ann. This is Chuck. I think we've already pretty much concluded, maybe not, but that you may not always need an IRT. There are some implementations that are pretty straightforward and may not require one, and so we've had some discussions about that, but keep in mind that we've yet to actually get to that specific topic in the work ahead of us, so I could be wrong on that, or that could change. So thanks, Anne, for that. Aubrey, your turn.
Thanks. Aubrey speaking. Okay. On that last one, I believe there always has to be an implementation team, even if it's only a team of one. That's just getting down to the next one. I really appreciate and the intent underlying. I very much appreciate that that's there, but I also see a liability in it because I believe that at times, you know, trusting that the staff has always attempted to follow the letter and intent, and yet there have been times when I and others thought that the intent had been 180 degrees away from what the staff decided it was. And you know, through no ill intention, just different perspective. And this is one of the reasons why I go back on there needing to be some form of implementation, even if it's one, that indeed in those cases where something significant or of substance is done based on intent, that intent really needs a some kind of visibility. You know, I'm not saying that there necessarily needs to be a step that says review here. But certainly that when the letter can't be followed and a bit of exegesis is required, then that needs to be visible, needs to be noticed, and I believe needs to be received as input by someone on an implementation team who is paying attention. So I don't know what to do with it. I like it being there, but I also feel that it needs to be caveated that intent is an awfully big gap. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey, and I would suggest that you, if you, you don't have to do it right now, but maybe on the list after this meeting, if you could suggest how that might be changed, that you put that on the list, and we could follow up on that in our meeting next week. And before going to Cheryl, Marika's had her hand up for a long time, and I'm going to give it over to her.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Marika. Just to note, and I think you remarked it already as well, that the way that it's currently worded in the PDP manual, implementation review teams are optional. So it's for the council to decide whether they want an implementation review team or not. And you know, recent experience has shown that for most policies that have been adopted since the new PDP came into force, there is an implementation review team formed. And again, that is a specific question the working group will come to as part of, I think, the next deliverable and charter question. But you know, something you may want to consider is actually making that the opposite way around, making it the default that there's only always an implementation review team unless the council designates that none is needed. And I think, again, you know, this specific principle also notes that it will be held accountable by the council. So even if there's no implementation review team, I believe it is the intent or the expectation that any plans or proposals would go back to the GNSO council if there's no indeed agent assigned for review and determining whether this intent is met or not. But also to Avery's comment, and I think that's one of the, the crucial aspects as well, where this working group will probably need to do a lot of thinking and discussing, is how would such an implementation review team determine whether or not the intent is met? What kind of process would need to be in place? Is that one person raising their hand? And I think Avery already alluded to the fact that sometimes there are different interpretations on what the intent is or should be or may be. So I think that's one of the questions, and it's something where I don't think we have been in a situation yet, at least under the current implementation review teams, where there was indeed an issue where some people felt that things didn't go in the direction that they felt was the intent, and what happens then? Because currently we don't have any processes for that, and I think at least from staff perspective, we see that as one of the important missing pieces of the working with implementation review teams, that they don't have any specific mechanisms or processes in place for actually raising that red flag, apart from someone maybe shouting loudly or raising an objection. But how from there it would go back to the council, or what kind of level of support it would need to have in an implementation review team, all of that is currently undefined.
Thank you, Marika. Chuck, again, and we're just about out of time. We're going to go to Cheryl next, and then I would like to ask if there's anybody that hasn't chimed in on our discussion today that would like to maybe in one sentence or two say something. Please raise your hand, and I'll give you that opportunity before we close. Cheryl, it's your turn.
Hey, thanks, Chuck. Cheryl, for the record. I put my hand up to come in behind what Avery was saying and be absolutely supportive of everything she said there, and then to go on and bring to the fore based on kind of what I believe we were thinking, and Avery and I were amongst the people that were on the teams that put these proposals for the guidelines together, that of course it was essential that people on an implementation team actually also included people who had lived, breathed, and were an integral part of a policy development process that had an active working group, etc., member. So the likelihood of a disconnect between the opinion coming out of someone from a working group experience and going into a review team would be minimal, but providing everything was as transparent as possible and as accountable as it should be, if there's an oops there, then that can at least be picked up and hopefully fixed as soon as possible. There's a lot more to do on the what happens in the black box of what we're now talking about as an IRT And that's obviously work that's still ahead of us, so we're not going to park that. We do have to deal with it. But I was also going to say that I also think that the more I hear and the more we work on this, I think the default position should be, as Marika actually mentioned, the opposite to what the guidelines currently says, and that is that we actually should have one unless the community can be shown a damn good reason why not. And I guess at that point, I think I know where we're going to be picking up next week, Chuck. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Cheryl. And I don't see any other hands, and I think we're probably over time, so I apologize for that. Before we close, now we have a planned meeting next week. Marika or Mary, do you have anything to ask or add before we adjourn?
This is Marika. Maybe just to say that, you know, we really appreciate the discussion and the input received, and hopefully we'll have time next week to maybe continue the conversation, because I think it is, you know, as well encouraging important dialogues as well for, I think, the further conversations that the working group needs to have. And, of course, if in the meantime there are any further comments or questions about the framework, we'll circulate this revised version, which, as we said, has tried to incorporate already some of the suggestions or questions that Chuck has raised. But, of course, if there are any further ones, please feel free to share those with the mailing list, and you know, we'll do our best to have an updated version if needed ahead of the next meeting.
Thanks, Marika. This is Chuck. And so if you would distribute this version that we have right now to the whole group, I think that would be helpful. And then if people want to add things to it before the next meeting, that would be great. And we'll pick up on B. We've talked about B, 2B, but Aubrey, if you can suggest some language change there to accomplish what you were suggesting, that would be great. And in the meantime, thanks, everybody. It's been a lively and I think necessary discussion that we had today. So thanks, everybody, for being open and listening to others' points of view and making good contributions. And with that, I will adjourn the meeting.
Thanks,
everyone.
Bye.
Thanks.